So by May, most of us have forgotten our New Year's resolutions. But something strange happened to me this year. I actually had an opportunity at the beginning of January to spend about 20 minutes thinking about what God wanted me to do this year, or at least how God wanted me to approach this year. It felt like it was going to be a year that was going to be challenging. We were praying about going to Chad. We wanted to go to Chad's, and it was going. You know, I needed to trust in God, I felt that God wanted me to have gratitude, to be thankful in all circumstances this year, surprisingly, I have. This has stayed with me for the last 5 months. 4 months, and I hope that it continues to come back to my mind over the next 8. I'm not a naturally thankful person. I'm not a naturally grateful person. Judith said to me this morning, "Yes, it's a bit countercultural to be grateful and express gratitude," and I think that's right. I always want to do better, and I want other people to do better, and I get disappointed with people who don't do well. And actually, probably a lot of you are similar to me in that way. So when Paul asked me to speak this morning about mission and something that God had been putting on my heart about mission, I thought, well, God's really been putting on my heart about gratitude, and I'm currently preparing to go overseas as a missionary. There's something there that I need to learn about gratitude in mission, or the attitude that we're meant to have when we're involved in mission. And I think it has something to say into our daily lives as well. So I'm going to actually broadly look over at what Paul, his attitude, or what he said, or what he lived through. And we just had one of the experiences that Paul went through as a missionary. He went through flogging, beating, shipwreck, a lot of hardship. And I'm sure a lot of you have gone through hardship. And it's one of those things that we don't feel a natural, "Yes, God, thank you very much, God," at that time. So let's have a look at what Paul does. But also, when we're looking at the Bible, actually, it's a when you think about why the Bible was written, it was God's mission to us. Why does the Bible exist? Well, God doesn't need the Bible to exist. For his own good. It exists because it's for us, and it exists for relationship with us. He speaks, and it's for our benefit. So it's helpful to understand the Bible when we're thinking about mission. As I prepare, or as we prepare to be to go to Chad, what can I learn from Paul in the way, as one of the first missionaries ever in Christianity? What can I learn from him? And I'm going to look at a few passages. One is, to start with, Acts 13. Right at the beginning of Acts 13, a couple of chapters before, he gets called by Barnabas to go to Antioch, and he spends a year in Antioch. I'll read it. Verse 1-3, I think it is. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, or Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. When you're a missionary, the first thing about being a missionary is being sent. And this, I would say, is where Paul is sent. When he came to Antioch, he was called to Antioch. It wasn't ascending, so he wasn't really a missionary. He was kind of just said, come and be a leader. And he was a leader with, interestingly, a Simeon who was dark-skinned. It's possible that he's black. And Lucius of Cyrene, who is from Libya. So I, loving Africa, love to be reminded by the fact that actually two of the elders of one of the first missionary churches were Africans, and that's just amazing. Or possibly at least one of them. But let's look at the context here. They said while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. What is worship? It's a gratitude to God for what he has done, what he is doing. It's for who he is. Mission starts in a place of worship, or a place of recognizing who God is and what God is doing. And that is amazing. And my personal experience here in Leeds was that I came here when I was 18, when I was a student, 9 years ago, and I attended this church, and I was able to come each Sunday and worship God and be part of a community that was grateful to God for what God has done, and that was a brilliant place to start. And then, Luke doesn't talk in Acts here. He doesn't talk about another part of sending, which is the giving of money to missionaries. He doesn't say that, but actually Paul later on in Philippians 4 talks about how he'd received gifts from the Philippian church, and that they were generous. And in reality, we sometimes talk about Paul being a tent maker. He wasn't always a tent maker. Some of the time, he didn't need to make tents because he was supported full-time as a missionary. So there is an advantage of somebody being supported financially. Katie and I, this is just something that I've been praising God for and thanking God for so much in the last few months. It's this, we have a financial need, but God is providing amazingly for it. We have a quarter of the money that we need already, we're leaving in January, hopefully, if we have all the money. And I was like, yes, God, this is amazing. And in my current job, I get to see a lot of missionaries being sent from England, and it's we pray for each one that is raising support, and it's amazing to say thank you, God, because those people disappear off that list, and we don't need to keep on praying for that particular subject anymore. But of course, we need other support as missionaries. We get anxious about situations. We do need things. And when Paul talks about continuing in Philippians chapter 4, he says, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You notice that? He said, with thanksgiving. So when we as missionaries have been sent and we're working in Chad, we will have needs. We will, like we do today, like you guys do today, and those needs will be things that we will need to take to God. We'll need to come to him in prayer. But Paul tells us here, and God tells us here, come with thanksgiving. Recognize what God has already done, how God has already provided for our needs, and don't be anxious, because look at what he's already done, look at who God is. You know who he is, you know what he's done, you know what he's doing, and you can say thank you, God, for that. And in that attitude, from that place of knowing who God is and who God, what God does, then we can say we need this, and present our needs. But perhaps we go through something that's not just a need; it's a hardship. It's a real great difficulty. And Paul, as Katie read earlier, went through great hardship. I'm going to just read verse 22 from Acts 16 again. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. My natural response to being beaten, well, I've never been severely beaten for the gospel, and I hope I never will. But my natural response to that, you know, severe pain and suffering, and I don't think it would be worshipping. I don't think it would be saying thank you, God, for who you are. Now, no, I don't think Paul is saying thank you, God, for beating me. I don't think God is saying thank you for the hardship. It doesn't say explicitly here. I think Paul was saying, God, you are amazing, even in this circumstance. And thank you, God, because you have already done great works in my life, and I know you are good. So in that circumstance of suffering, and I think as missionaries, we will go through suffering. I mean, we personally, I know we will have no water, running water. We'll have no electricity to our house. We will have to drive for 16 hours to get from the capital city to where we're going in eastern Chad, on very uncomfortable roads. That will be a personal difficulty. I don't think we're going to get shot at like some of my colleagues in South Sudan recently. Actually, at Christmas, the fighting had moved away from where my colleagues were in Douro, which is northeast South Sudan, and they have been doing an amazing work. A tribe called the Ingasana came to them from about 20 or 30 kilometers away from where they've been living for the last few years. And they said, we want to hear about this Jesus that you are talking about. And some of my colleagues walked and cycled that 20 or 30 miles or so to these tribal villages and shared the gospel. And hundreds became Christians. That is a problem I would love to have, having hundreds of people who have become Christians in eastern Chad, and I have to walk for miles to go and share the gospel with them. But the civil war that's happening in South Sudan at the moment, just in December, moved back to their area, they had to, on Christmas Day, well, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, stay lying down in their houses because bullets were being shot, not at them, but just to kill anybody who was alive in that town. Now, when the shooting had died down for a short while, they managed to get a plane to come and pick them up, and they got out, and fortunately none of my colleagues, none of my friends died. But that is a reality of being involved in mission. But what is their attitude today? What is our attitude? We can be thankful that none of them died. But really, we should be thankful because God has done an amazing work amongst the Ngosena tribe and has brought many people to know him. That is a place where we are as missionaries. That's where that's a reality of what we do. Now, I don't think in Chad we'll get shot at. I'm praying that's not the case. And we do take real risk as missionaries going to a whole set of countries. We will more likely suffer from illness. We will are more likely to suffer from alienation and difficulty. But Paul, in his actions, reminds us that our attitude and our place of being is of one of worship and of gratitude and of thanksgiving, whatever our circumstance. Not a thanksgiving for, God, thank you for beating me, but God, thank you because you've done this amazing work, or you're doing this amazing work, and I know who you are. In the UK, we go through real hardship. There are people who go through real hardship. We all know people who go through real hardship, sickness, pain, emotional pain, and it's not easy to be thankful and grateful and worship God in those circumstances. It's not. When you lose somebody who is close to you, it's not easy to be thankful to God. It's not easy to see what God has done, even some of the small things. And when I've gone through times that have been hard, it's felt black. It's felt very dark, and it's hard to find anything in the place that's around me that inspires that attitude of gratitude or the thankfulness. But I can look back in my life. I can look back to times when God has blessed people that I've been able to see, or I can look back and I can see something that God did through me, and I can be grateful. So I Katie and I in Suffolk at the moment, the church we go to has just planted its third congregation. It's almost a church plant. They still remain kind of semi-united as a group of churches. And we're part of that. This is the third church plant that I've been part of in the last 8 years, 7 years. And it's really exciting to go and visit, to come to visit to Leeds, to go and visit the church that I was first involved in planting here at the Leeds Arab Fellowship, and be encouraged by what God has done over the last few years in that small community. And I look forward to coming to go returning to Suffolk in a few years' time to visit and seeing that church plant, God willing, have grown and God done something really amazing through that church. And that's... I feel like I've been involved in mission for the last few years, and there are some things that I can say, God, you are great because you did this. And at that time, you were life-changing, and I can thank you for that, even if my current circumstance is really hard. So when we are involved in mission, whether it is a local mission or whether we're involved in overseas mission, we can be grateful, we can enjoy, have true joy for who God is. And that's, for me, is a core part of doing mission. It's knowing that God is doing something great in another country, and okay, I'm not part of it, but I can still praise God for what's going on in South Sudan as an observer. Or I can thank God for something that I was involved in many years ago, but now I've left for whatever reason. Or I can say, thank you, God, because I know you are good right now, because I'm in a great place right now. I feel that Paul had a similar experience to myself. Well, I have a similar experience to Paul, I think is probably more accurate. At the beginning of almost all of his letters, he starts with a thanks to God for the church. So in Romans, he says, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. And then in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. That means that he was part of those churches in some way. He was not. I mean, Romans, he was not part of that church plant. But he can still say, I thank God for what God is doing in your lives. And I look forward to coming. You know, every time I come to Leeds, I get to come and meet you guys. And I can say, I thank God for what he's doing here. So what exciting things has God done in your past? Or what has he done in the history of South Parade that you can say, yes, this is good, this is what God has done? How can South Parade be a little bit like the Church of Antioch, being that place of gratitude and worship and thankfulness and send people? South Parade is already doing it. It's already done it with Levi and so many other people, actually. It's very encouraging. It was one of the things that inspired me when I first joined South Parade 9 years ago, was this commitment to mission out of a community of worship. In your personal lives, what can you be thankful for? Small things. What small things has God done that you can be thankful for? Can you start each day with thankfulness for what he is doing or has done in you? When we're in times of need, let's come to God with this recognition that, yes, God, we know who God is. He's amazing. We'll do the Paul thing that he says in Philippians of being continuously thankful in all circumstances. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to praise you, to thank you in all times and circumstances. We will not always have it easy, but we will get great joy in being part of your mission. We are blessed to see you working here in Leeds and to be sent from here to the ends of the earth. Please help us recognize your goodness, and whether it's receiving generosity from others or seeing your work in others. In Jesus' name, amen.